The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive.
Today we are launching ourselves into a subject that is often caricatured, but I think rarely understood deeply.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, often known as Mormonism.
And our source for this is Richard Lyman Bushman's Mormonism.
Right.
Very short introduction. It's fantastic.
It really is. So for you, our mission today is to get past all the sensationalized stories, all the noise, you know.
Right. We want to grasp the faith's internal logic. What makes it work? What is the spiritual power and the comprehensive worldview that holds it all together for its members?
And that's so important because this is a faith with over 16 million members. It's one of the fastest growing in the world. So just focusing on, say, the history of polygamy or the story of the golden plates.
You miss the point. You miss the whole system.
Exactly. You just dismiss it as some kind of historical quirk. But Bushman argues it's not a collection of strange rules. It's a fully integrated system. Mm-hmm. It's a map that answers the biggest questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here?
And where are we going? He really replaces that caricature with a serious look at its core claims, restoration and continuing revelation.
We'll get into those. But first, let's talk about the man guiding us.
Okay, so Richard Lyman Bushman. He isn't just an interested observer.
Not at all. He's an academic giant.
We're talking a PhD from Harvard, former Governor Morris, professor of history at Columbia. His biography of Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling, is considered the definitive scholarly work.
His credentials are, well, they're unimpeachable. But what makes this book so valuable is his unique position.
The insider-outsider perspective, right?
Exactly. He is a top-tier historian, and he's a devout, lifelong member of the faith.
That sounds like an incredibly difficult line to walk. How does he handle the controversial stuff, the conflicts, the debates, while keeping his scholarly integrity and his personal belief?
He addresses it directly. He calls himself a believing historian.
What does that mean in practice?
It means he doesn't just explain away the difficult history, but he also refuses to treat the spiritual core of the faith as something secondary or something to be dismissed.
So he's like a translator.
That's a great way to put it. He presents the religion on its own terms, but he grounds it in its historical context, all while explaining the profound power these ideas hold for millions of people.
So if you, the listener, really want to understand the meaning behind the practices, not just the historical facts, Bushman is the perfect guide. He gives us the why.
Mm-hmm. He gives us the why.
Okay, let's dive into that why. The central engine. Bushman says the appeal, the endurance of Mormonism, all comes down to two key ideas.
Right. Restoration and continuing revelation.
And this is what immediately sets it apart from most other Christian groups.
It does. Most Christian history is about reformation, you know, fixing, adjusting, cleaning up the church that exists.
But Mormonism's claim is totally different. It claims the original church, the one Christ set up with the apostles, was completely lost.
The great apostasy, that's the term.
Right. So this idea that after the original apostles died, the divine authority, the priesthood power, it just vanished from the earth.
Exactly. So Joseph Smith's goal wasn't to tweak Protestantism. It was to restore the entire original thing.
The whole package.
The whole package. Yeah. Divine authority, new scripture, the full doctrine. And for believers, this offers a tangible, ongoing connection to God in a world that can feel, you know, very spiritually disconnected.
And this restoration creates what Bushman calls a map for existence. It's a system that explains everything.
Everything. From a pre-mortal life we lived with God to the purpose of our life here on earth, to the infinite possibilities in the next life.
So the book really traces this whole epic story. It starts in the 1820s, this fervent religious period called the Second Great Awakening,
mm-hmm.
and follows Joseph Smith's visions, the intense and often violent quest to build a literal Zion in America.
All the way to the massive global church we see today.
So let's start at the beginning, the foundation of that restoration claim. Joseph Smith's first visionary experience, the first vision. Bushman calls it Smith's theophany.
A theophany being a direct physical appearance of the divine.
Right. Smith was a young man trying to figure out which of all the competing churches was the right one.
And the result, he claimed, was a vision of God the Father and Jesus Christ. They appeared to him and told him that all the existing churches and their creeds were wrong.
And that one moment defines everything. The goal is no longer reformation.
It's restoration. They aren't just a new sect. They claim to be the return of the original true church.
And this event introduces a radical theological concept, something that separates Mormonism from traditional Christianity.
The corporeal, physical nature of God.
Explain that.
God and Christ are seen as two distinct embodied beings, beings with bodies of flesh and bone. God isn't some abstract spirit. He is a personal, tangible entity you could, in theory, encounter.
And that idea of a tangible, accessible divine really grounds the whole religious experience for them, doesn't it?
It really does. It re-enchants the world. And then right after that comes the material evidence.
The golden plates and the Book of Mormon.
Which is presented as this ancient record, primarily of Israelite families who migrated to the Americas. And the climax of the book is a visit from the resurrected Jesus Christ to them.
So the book has a dual role. It's a second witness for Jesus.
But just as importantly, it's tangible evidence. The claim of physical plates that were translated forces a choice.
Bushman makes a big point of this. Smith's claims are so specific, so grounded in the physical world plates, translators, ancient peoples, that you can't just spiritualize it away.
Right. You either have to accept him as a prophet or reject him as a fraud. There's not much middle ground.
Okay, so once the theology is set, the focus immediately shifts to community.
Yes, to building a righteous community. And that brings us to the concept of Zion.
This wasn't just a metaphor, was it?
Not at all. It was a practical community-building project. They were trying to build a literal kingdom of God on earth, starting in places like Missouri and Illinois.
And this is where the story gets really fraught with conflict. Bushman is very clear that the Saints group, Solidarity, their economic power, their block voting.
It made their neighbors very nervous and hostile.
You can't really build a kingdom when everyone around you sees you as a threat.
Precisely. And that intense, violent persecution, which ultimately led to Joseph Smith's murder. It wasn't just a challenge for them. It was a crucible.
It forged their identity.
Absolutely. It created this incredibly powerful sense of us against the world, a deep group loyalty, and a shared narrative of sacrifice and martyrdom. The persecution became part of who they were.
So what holds this massive, dedicated community together today? Bushman points to the institutional genius of the priesthood.
This is the organizational key. The claim is that it's a literal restoration of divine authority from heavenly messengers. But the real strength is in the model.
The lay priesthood.
Yes. This authority is given to all worthy male members, and they all receive demanding, unpaid service assignments called callings.
So everyone has a job to do.
Everyone. And that high-demand, high-participation model is critical. When everyone is an unpaid servant, the organization can grow incredibly fast, it can manage complex logistics, and it fosters this intense commitment and develops leadership skills across the entire membership.
That makes so much sense. The strength isn't in a paid clergy at the top, but in this decentralized, massive volunteer force.
Exactly. But let's zoom out to the cosmic reason why they do that service, the core theology, the plan of salvation.
Which starts with a pretty radical idea, premortal life. The idea that we all existed as spirits with God before we were born.
And that's the setup for what is probably Mormonism's most distinctive and ambitious doctrine. Eternal progression or deification.
This is summed up in that famous couplet by Lorenzo Snow, right?
It is. As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may be.
That is just a staggering claim. You're saying the ultimate goal of life is to literally progress toward becoming like God.
Yes. Bushman argues this boundless, optimistic vision of human potential is its most powerful draw. It transforms everything. Every mundane act of your life becomes a choice with cosmic significance.
You're not just trying to get to heaven. You're on an eternal path of growth and learning.
An eternal path of achievement.
So to make those cosmic promises feel real and concrete, we have to talk about the temple.
Right. And we need to be really clear. Temples are not the same as their weekly meeting houses.
Sunday worship happens in a meeting house or chapel. Temples are for something else entirely.
They're for sacred ordinances, deep covenants and commitments. And the most powerful one Bushman discusses is eternal sealings.
Where spouses and their children are bound together, not just for this life,
but for time and all eternity.
That idea of the eternal family unit has to be a huge source of comfort and motivation. It anchors the whole lifestyle, the focus on marriage, on raising children, all of it.
It absolutely does. And finally, you see this whole system playing out on a massive scale with the global church.
Bushman points out the incredible international growth. The majority of members now live outside the U.S.
And a huge driver of that is the missionary program. Tens of thousands of young people serving full-time for 2 years entirely at their own expense.
It's an amazing logistical feat. But Bushman also notes the challenge, you know, of translating a faith born in 19th century America into all these incredibly diverse global cultures.
It's a constant tension.
So let's try to distill this. If we pull back from all the details, what are the core themes that really explain the power of this faith today?
I think the first one is this central paradox of Christian exclusivity.
Meaning what exactly?
Well, they strongly identify as Christian. The Bible is their scripture. Jesus is the center of their faith. And yet
their foundational claims force them into a separate category.
Right. They believe other Christian churches are good, but lack essential truths and, crucially, restored authority. So there's this constant tension between wanting acceptance from the Christian world while also claiming a unique, exclusive restoration of power.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, a second theme.
The cosmic significance of the mundane.
Mm.
Because of that plan of salvation and eternal progression.
Daily life gets elevated.
It's totally reframed. Your choices about your family, your moral behavior, your service, they aren't just about getting through this life. They are conscious steps on an infinite journey toward godhood.
That gives struggle a real sense of purpose. It builds resilience.
Immense resilience. And third, the power of the lay ministry model. The high demands that are placed on members, the callings, the missions, they create this incredibly dense, powerful network of social support and loyalty that very few other organizations can replicate.
High commitment creates high reward.
Exactly.
Bushman's writing is also full of these really precise, memorable lines that get to the heart of things.
He's a wonderful writer.
One that really stood out to me was this idea: the foundational claim of Mormonism is not a new idea, but a new event.
I love that.
A direct physical encounter between a teenage boy and God.
That's so profound, isn't it? It grounds the faith not in philosophy, but in a claimed historical, empirical event, the first vision. And that makes the demands on the believer total. You have to accept Joseph Smith's testimony to even get in the door.
Another powerful idea he stresses is that the Book of Mormon's main purpose was to convince people that God was speaking again, just as he spoke to prophets in the Bible.
Yes. Its function is to prove the principle of continuing revelation.
The idea that the canon isn't closed.
Right. God didn't just stop talking 2,000 years ago. That belief in an ongoing flow of divine guidance is absolutely essential to the living, breathing nature of the faith.
So thinking about all this, this deep dive gives us some really practical applications, especially for you, the curious learner, trying to navigate our world.
Absolutely. Bushman's own method is a masterclass in empathy for belief systems.
How so?
He teaches us to shift our question. Instead of asking, how can anyone possibly believe that, we should ask,
what does that belief do for them? How does it organize their world?
And that simple shift in perspective is vital for any kind of respectful dialogue today, whether it's about religion, politics, or culture.
You can also look at it from an organizational leadership perspective. I mean, any nonprofit or volunteer group could learn from the lay ministry model.
Oh, for sure. Giving everyone a demanding, meaningful role fosters incredible commitment, it develops leaders, and it creates a highly motivated structure. It's a lesson in engagement.
And finally, there's just a universal lesson here about the power of narrative. The plan of salvation, whatever your personal beliefs are, shows how a complete worldview, a story about your origin, your purpose, and your destiny can be a profound source of resilience and direction. It gives meaning to daily life.
It gives ultimate meaning.
So as we wrap up, what's the one thing that really stands out to you from Bushman's portrait?
You know, for me, the lasting insight is Bushman's success as a translator. He proves that serious faith deserves serious intellectual engagement.
That you can't just dismiss it.
You can't.
Yeah.
You walk away from this book appreciating how this incredibly complex, integrated system gives profound meaning and structure to millions of lives. It challenges you to look past the superficial and see a remarkably ambitious worldview.
I agree. For me, it was the sheer ambition of the theology. We hear a lot about the culture, but that core doctrine of deification, the idea that human potential is literally boundless, that this life is just a tiny step on an eternal journey, that is an intensely powerful and optimistic vision. It really reframes the pains of mortality.
It really does.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.